Well, happy Easter, Prestonwood. It is an absolute joy to be able to gather together and worship here and sing about our risen Savior. It's Resurrection Sunday. We're so glad to see all of you here, especially those of you that are connecting with us online and are joining us on this Easter Sunday. He is alive, He is Lord, and we celebrate a risen Savior today. And so, online community, we want to welcome you and all of you in this room today who are gathering with us as guests for the very first time. It is an absolute thrill to have you here at Prestonwood with us on Easter. We already had an amazing service together at 8 o'clock, and we do want to welcome you guests, anyone and everyone that's new here in the life of our church and in worship with us today. It is an absolute privilege to be able to host you and to have you join our family for Easter this morning. If you are a guest with us, either online or here worshiping with us in the room, I want to invite you to take out your phone just for a moment, and I want you to text the word guest, G-U-E-S-T, guest, to the number 74788. Guest 74788. Now, when you do that, that's going to prompt a couple of messages on your phone. You can click on a link there, and it'll take you to places where you can learn more about the life of our church, the story of our church, and what God's doing here in the life of our ministry. And it'll also give you an incredible amount of ways for you to connect with us. There's even a way for you to be able to tell us how we could be praying for you. And so I hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity, guests. Make sure that you make us aware that you're here today. Connect there with us. And online as well, we want to say what a privilege it is for us to be able to worship with you. We hope that you feel a part of all that happens today as we lift high and magnify the name of Jesus. Well, we love to say here that He is risen, and He is risen indeed. And Jesus is alive, and He is Lord. So at this time, I want to go ahead and ask you, stand with us, and let's worship the Lord this morning.
Imagine us all standing there, peering through the shadows of a storm-bruised sky, and seeing Him suspended, torn to shreds on that tree. Imagine watching as the soldiers mocked Him for His claims of deity, and the crowds hurled their vile insults, just waiting for Him to die. This was no ordinary man. This was our rabbi, our Messiah, our friend. How could this be? He knew what He had to do. He knew that He was the one to finish it once and for all. Love would win, but only through sacrifice. Before His final breath, He cried out with total resolve, "It is finished." On that Friday, He carried all our sin, all our mistakes, all the wrath we deserved, down into the forgotten caverns of death. And as His body exhaled into death, the miracle of redemption began to breathe. Three days of darkness and despair gave way to Sunday, the day light broke through, the day everything changed. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Victory is ours. Hope is ours. He left His grave clothes behind and rose from the dead. The miracle of miracles. And just like those grave clothes lay powerless in the tomb, our brokenness, our mistakes, our sins can be rendered powerless too. Do you believe? The miracle of the empty tomb did not stop 2,000 years ago. It's here today, all around the room. When we believe, we come alive. You and I, we are His miracles. So in the name of Jesus, live.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is the house of miracles.
Just one word, and you revive every dream. Hallelujah. Darkest day in history was over. All was lost on the cross. A beaten, battered, bruised beyond description. You gave it all. What went wrong?
This couldn't be the end of heaven's story. Cause you came to save, to beat the grave. 3 days and now they're looking for your body. But you weren't gone, and now I know.
You saved the day, the day you rolled the stone away. The empty grave is there to say you reign. You saved the day. You tore the holy veil away. You opened wide the crystal gates. You saved the day.
Rescued from the shackles of my failure in the dead of night. You shined your light. Your gift of love's hope that springs eternal. And because of you, all things are new.
You saved the day. The day you rolled the stone away. The empty grave is there to say you raised.
Of love is hope that springs eternal, and because of you, all things are new.
You saved the day, the day you rolled the stone away. The empty grave is there to say you reign. You saved.
First of all, I need to catch my breath just a little bit after that. I'm certain that no preacher in the world has the privilege of standing up and delivering God's word, preaching the gospel after anything like that. So I'm so grateful for our choir, our orchestra, the students, and then Hebron Road, and then Michael Neal, who led it all. And that song, Save the Day, is a Michael Neal original. And we're so grateful for the truth of that, that Jesus saved the day. And this is the day of all days. This is Resurrection Day. And we're so grateful that you have joined us, so many of you online on PowerPoint, television, and radio, as well as so many right here in the room today. So here we are, Easter 2022. As in most years, we find ourselves in the world in chaos, in turmoil, and we need a timeless message for today. And the most timeless truth of all times is the reality and the relevance of the resurrection for our lives. And there is a very simple truth that I'm going to share with you today, but it is a spectacular truth. It is the greatest good news the world has ever heard, and it is this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. I heard about a man who was taking jars out of his factory where he worked, and in the jars, as he was taking them out through security, there was just sand and bolts and pieces of lumber. And as he was taking them out, they were suspicious of him. He looked suspicious because he was riding a little red bicycle through every day. And they kept looking and looking in the jars to find something. They'd pour out the sand, pour out the bolts, pour out everything in the jars, looking for something. They were certain that he was perhaps stealing something. They were suspicious because he did this every day. They never saw him come back, but they saw him come out every day riding this bicycle and carrying jars full of sand and bolts and lumber, and they would check him every day. And one day they even took the bicycle apart to see if there was anything in the bicycle, because the head security guard was just certain that this man was stealing something. Finally, after days and days and really months and months of this, the security guard was retiring, and so he got the man aside coming through that day on his bicycle and with his typical jars, and he said, "Look, I'm retiring. I'm not going to turn you in. I know that you're stealing something. I mean, you're so suspicious. You're taking out this jar full of sand and bolts and lumber every day. What on earth are you stealing?" And the man said, "I'm stealing red bicycles." Sometimes it's so obvious that we miss it. And the truth of Easter for so many is obvious, and yet so many miss it. I'm speaking to you today on the lordship of Jesus. The lordship of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Lord of life, Lord of love, Lord of all. In our Essential Gospel series, which is the book of Romans, and I would invite you back each week as we preach Christ and teach the Bible each week. That's what we do here every Lord's Day and throughout the days. But in the book of Romans, chapter 14, Paul is actually dealing with division and disputes within the church, but he brings it all under the force and the fact that Christ is Lord. And verse 7 of Romans, verse 7 of 14 says, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." And then verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." And verse 12, the bottom line, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Jesus Christ is Lord. So let me share with you first this very real and relevant truth. It's a simple truth. the fact that Jesus is Lord. He proved his lordship in his supernatural birth, his virgin birth, his sinless, stainless life. No one but Jesus lived a perfect life. The pure Lamb of God, he never committed a sin, though he was tempted in all points as we are tempted. He not only was born supernaturally and lived a sinless life, but his saving act on the cross and the resurrection, and then the promise of his soon return in all of this, before he was born, after he was born, and now forevermore, he reigns, he rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the core and critical and essential truth of the gospel, because the Christian faith is not a cause, it's not a creed, it's not a church. It is Christ and Christ alone who is Lord of all. When I was just a child, I had the privilege of being raised in a wonderful Christian home and family, a godly heritage. So as a small boy, at the age of 6, I went forward under a tent on sawdust, literally, in our small town in Arkansas, and I publicly professed my faith in Jesus Christ. I was just a boy. I didn't know a lot, but I knew that I wanted Jesus to come into my life and to forgive me of all of my sins. I, in essence, gave all that I knew about me to all that I knew about him. It was simple, childlike faith. And Jesus said, unless you're willing to become like a child and be converted, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And so I came as a little boy in childlike faith and trusted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I was baptized a couple of years later in testimony of my faith in Christ. Fast forward, age 15. I'm in a student camp just south of Fort Worth with our church. And I'm a young man about to be a sophomore in high school and making a decision about my life. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to live for Christ? Am I going to really give my life to follow Jesus, or am I just going to go with the flow? So at that camp that summer, I heard about the lordship of Jesus in my life. We sang a song, I take hands off my life, it is no longer mine. I take hands off my life, let it be forever thine. And it echoes in my soul to this day. And at that moment, a miracle took place in my life when I believe I yielded completely my life to the lordship of Christ. I was saved. Yes, I was saved. And I'd given my life to follow the Lord as a child and as a young teenager. But now I understood something that I'd really never comprehended before. And that is that the one who came and lived and died and rose and saved me has every right, not just for a place in my life or prominence in my life, but preeminence in my life. Amen. That Christ is to be the Lord of my life. And therefore, from that day forward, every decision I make, from the details to the dreams and all the rest in my life, I wanted to live under the lordship of Jesus. I was saved by the Lord. And then that boy who was saved gave his life to follow the Lord. It's impossible to become a Christian unless you confess Jesus as both your Savior and Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart, we believe unto righteousness. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesses to salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. What does it mean to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. To trust in the Lord, to believe and follow Jesus, and to be Lord of your life. There are actually 747 times in the New Testament we're told that Jesus is Lord. 24 times Jesus is referenced as Savior, and Jesus must be Savior to save us from our sins. But the Lord is the one who saves us. And so the focus of this message and the desire of my heart in bringing you this word today is what Paul was getting at in this passage, that no one lives to himself. Remember, he is speaking to Christians in this passage. It's open, certainly open and inclusive of all who would come to Jesus, but specifically, Paul is addressing believers, followers of Jesus, and he's reminding us all that none of us live to ourselves, that our life is not our own, that none of us dies to ourselves, that whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Amen. In life as well as death. It's the same kind of thing that Paul was saying in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And this is true because of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Some of you are saved. You are indeed a Christian. But you are not surrendered, yielded, submitted to the lordship of Christ in your life. And I'm praying that this will be the day that you totally and completely give your life to live it under the lordship of Christ in life and in death. This is a simple truth. Jesus is Lord. The question is he your Lord? Is he Lord of your life? Now, it's possible to be in church and even to be a religious person and die without Christ and even to say that he is Lord. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many in that day, the day of judgment, he said that many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. But he said, I will say to you, depart, I never knew you. Frankly, to me, it's the most frightening passage of Scripture in all the Bible, because here are people who think they're saved, who believe they're going to heaven, but they are not, simply because in their mouth they are confessing Christ, but in their heart they are not believing Christ. And I believe that there are people who are saying they're Christians in churches all around the world today who are not Christians because they've never truly confess Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. And I also believe that there are many Christians in churches today who are saved, who believe you are a believer. But as a follower of Jesus, you're not living under the authority of Jesus in your life, that he is both Lord and Savior. So I simply ask you, invite you today, that Jesus would be the unrivaled, undisputed Lord of your life. Amen. No rivals, no retreat. You know, there was a time when Christians were persecuted and killed in the New Testament era for saying Jesus Christ is Lord. It will cost you something to do this. In the Roman era, they were commanded to light some incense and say that Caesar is Lord. And because the early believers refused to bow the knee to Caesar, they said only Jesus is Lord. They were persecuted and killed and martyred. Even to this day, there are Christians around the world, and we should pray for persecuted Christians everywhere who are dying because they dare to say Jesus and Jesus only is Lord. And so I look at my own life and think, how dare I shy away or silence myself from confessing Christ is Lord because I fear a little cultural cancellation, or maybe I fear a little mocking of my friends, or I'm unable or unwilling to stand and to say Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't miss this. This is the essential truth of the gospel. So this is the relevant truth. It is the real and simple truth that Jesus is Lord. But it is also a reasonable truth. A reasonable truth. Why? Paul tells us why. He said that Christ both died and lived again, that he might be Lord. So Jesus, and Jesus only, has the right to rule our lives. It's a reasonable request because Christ died for us. He's the only one who did this for you. Jesus was not a political revolutionary, a spiritual mystic, a moral teacher, but rather the Savior and Lord who went to the cross, who came on a mission of mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and Jesus was Lord even at the cross. He was in control of all things surrounding the cross. The Romans thought they were in control. The religious crowd thought they were in control. But Jesus commanded his life and he commanded his death because he is Lord. And the moment Jesus finished the work, he cried out, "Telestai, it is finished. Mission is now accomplished. Salvation is complete. The work is done." And then the Bible says he bowed his head and in his own time, and on his own terms, he said, "Father, I commit my life to you. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You see, no one took Jesus' life from him. He voluntarily gave it. And he vicariously gave it in that he took our place. What we say is that Christ not only died for us, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while Christ, God demonstrated his love for us in that while Christ died for us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us, but he also died as us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. So not only did he take our sins, he substituted his own life for us and took the holy wrath of God in judgment for sin, all sin, yours and mine. He died for our sins and as our sins to the degree that as he is dying, he cries out, "Lama sabachthani, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because in that moment, God's dear and darling Son was bearing the weight, the world, and all of its sin. And God the Father, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, turned his back on his Son and delivered him to death because of his love for you. For God so loved that he gave his Son. And so he has the right to rule our lives. Stay with me. Because he purchased us at the cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And because he purchased our salvation, he paid the price for our salvation by his blood. We're not born again with corruptible things, but incorruptible things, the precious blood of Jesus. We are born again unto this living hope. And because he has purchased us by his blood and paid this price, he has the right to own us outright, to be our master, to be the Lord of our lives. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians. He said, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That you are not your own? That you are bought with a price? Therefore, glorify, honor God with your body, with your life, with your everything." We just sang it a moment ago. "Lord, I give you my everything." So your brain is not your brain. It belongs to him. Your body is not your body. It belongs to him. Your heart now belongs to him in Jesus. Your hands, your feet, your arms, all of you, it's all his because he and he alone gave his life for you. And so he is Lord because he purchased us, and he is Lord because he now possesses us. Because the scripture says that he not only died, but he lives again. He lived again. That's the resurrection, of course. And not only did he live, he now lives. And by his Spirit, he lives in us. We are now possessed. No longer controlled and dominated and empowered by Satan and sin in the world, but now we are empowered, we are inhabited by the Spirit, the resurrected power and presence of Jesus Christ. This power in you is the resurrection power. The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is alive, alive in you. Amen. He has the right, therefore, to possess you. He owns you. You belong to him. He purchased each one of us, and now he possesses us. I don't know who said it first, but it's true that for some Christians, Christ is present, but he's not president. He's dormant, but not dominant. He is Savior, but not sovereign. Christ died and lived again that he might be Lord of all. And any area that is not yielded to the lordship of Jesus in our lives, any area is space for Satan to work. It can become a bridgehead for the devil to do his dirty work in our lives. That's why I said just a moment ago, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our bodies, our brains, our minds, our morals, it's all his. And so the relevance of the lordship of Christ, Christ is Lord. The reality of it is that he purchased us and he possesses us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of heaven. Christ in you. What I learned about the time I surrendered and yielded my life fully to the Lord as a teenager, what I learned at that point, that it wasn't my life to live, but that he would live his life through me. That this Christian life was impossible in myself. But if I would yield to Christ and be willing to put on Christ and not provide for the lust of the flesh, or plan on the lust of the flesh, if I would possess Christ and allow Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Sometimes we hear language like this. Well, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and then later on, he became my Lord. No, he doesn't become your Lord. He is Lord. Amen. He is Lord. The question is, have I yielded and surrendered and submitted my life to his lordship? The results of this lordship in my life is absolute surrender. My ambitions, my attitude, my actions, my activities. And it also means an unashamed confession of him to my family, to my friends, coworkers, neighbors. Because what does the scripture say here? It says that everyone will give an account of his life to God. If you are unsaved, if you do not know Christ, if you've never believed, received Christ, and confessed him as your Lord and Savior, then there is a judgment coming, a final judgment. And it's a terrible judgment. And at that judgment, all who have not believed and trusted in Christ are cast into eternity and to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. The biggest lie of Satan in our generation, perhaps any generation, is that you're not accountable for your actions. That you're not accountable for what you do with your life. Your life is God's gift to you. What you do with your life is your gift back to Him. But don't think that you can live your life without God. No time for God, no place for God in your life, no Jesus in your life, a skeptic, a cynic, whatever, an unbeliever. Don't think that you can then die, pull the grave over yourself, and hide from God forever. No, all will give an account to God, everyone. That's why the Bible says in so many ways, prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared to meet God? But not only will there be a judgment of those who do not know into everlasting punishment, but the Bible talks about the judgment of Christians, and not as sinners, because our judgment took place at the cross when Christ died for our sin. You won't be judged for your sin or your salvation. That already takes place when you trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. But every believer, he's talking again to believers here, must give an account to God for our lives. This is the judge of our service, of our sonship, what we do with the life that we've been given. It's a picture of rewards that are given to those who win the prize by faithfully and fully serving the Lord. So if you're a fringe kind of person, you go to church when you feel like it or not at all much, you never serve the Lord, you never give back, you're not living for the Lord, there is an accountability for this, not only in this life, but when we stand face to face with Christ. And as Stephen Olford, the great British preacher, once said, some will have nothing but the charred embers of a wasted life to give to Jesus. I don't want to waste my life, because He is worthy of everything that I have and everything that you have. To live as Christ, to die as gain, to live under His control, to live under His claim. And this is so comforting. This is a rational and relevant truth. It's so comforting to know that He is in control, that I don't have to call all the shots, that I don't have to make all the decisions, but if I would pray and seek God and open His word, that His Spirit would lead me, that the Lord will lead me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. And so we live now Easter every day because we are inhabited. We are ruled. We are given to the lordship of Christ completely and totally. And so we have hope and His love, and we have peace, and we have purpose, because now it is an unashamed confession, and it is a complete abandonment to the Lord. Is it perfect every day for you, Jack Graham? No, it's not perfect every day. There are times that I take back some things that I have to give back to the Lord again. It's never perfect, but we're on our way when we're living under the authority and the aim of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved the day. That's what He did. This Friday evening past, we had the Good Friday service, and it was wonderful, and this place was full, and we observed the Lord's Supper and baptism. And between both campuses, our North Campus, Prestonwood Espanol, and Prestonwood Plano here, we have already this weekend baptized right at 100 people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for each one. And you know, baptism is our public profession of faith in Christ. So when you are a believer, you will be baptized as a testimony that Christ is Lord. How dare I say Jesus is Lord, except I'm not going to be baptized. The moment you say no, Lord, He's no longer Lord. The only answer is yes, Lord. Obedient to Him. So He saved the day. And among the 100 that we saw baptized this weekend, there are small children like little Jack Graham, 6 and 8 years old, and couples and families. and people from every nation of the world, not every, but many nations of the world, were professing and confessing Jesus as Lord of their lives. And among them is Willard McBride. And when Willard McBride was announced, he was the first one up for baptism here on Friday night. Mike Buster, who was leading the baptismal service, told us that William McBride was 98 years old.
Hallelujah.
98. And what happened is what you're doing right now, except louder. I mean, people just spontaneously started cheering. Mike could barely say the thing up there because he is not a thing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He could barely say it all because it was so loud in here. People were cheering William McBride. And I was just asking, I said, what is Willard McBride? I said, what is Willard's story? And Mike said, what Willard told me is that he lived his whole life and he just never had time for God. But Jesus saved the day for Willard. He saved his life. I wish Willard, I know Willard wishes that he had more days to live for Jesus. I don't know, he looked great. He may live to be 120 as far as I know. But as a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 98-year-old, he saves the day. If you've messed up your life in some way, if you've lived as though God doesn't even exist, if you've never had time for God, he saved the day. He saved this day for you. This is your day. This is God's day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the resurrection day, and it's your resurrection day.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed all over this room and wherever you are watching on a screen somewhere online. The scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. This is your day. This is your destiny. Whether you're 8 or 98, probably somewhere in between, you who've really had no time for Jesus, no time for God, no time to follow him, this is your time. Because your sin is breaking you down. Your sin is destroying your life. But Christ took your sin to the cross. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose. He came out of the grave. He is Lord. Will you now call on his name and confess his name? Jesus Christ is Lord. By receiving him and trusting him. It's not enough just to say it. The question is, do you believe it? So pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. I trust you as my Master, Savior, friend. I believe you died for me and rose again. And I now confess you and claim you. As you have claimed me, as you have called me to yourself, I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will follow you. How many of you would say today, by just simply lifting your hand, I'm trusting Jesus as my Lord and Savior today? I don't know what happened in the past. Some of you are just not sure. You're not certain. Settle it today. And if you want to settle it and you want to say it, you want to confess Christ today as your Lord and Savior. In the balcony, all the way to the top, I can see you from here. All across the lower levels. If you would say, I want to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior today, would you hold up your hand right now? I want to pray for you. Just hold up your hand. Amen. Hold it up. Hold it up high where we can see it. Hold it up high. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In the balcony, lift up your hand to say, I'm confessing Christ. And if you will lift your hand, know that God, the Holy Spirit, is calling you. This isn't a chance, an accident. This isn't just good luck. This is God's plan for your life, that you would be here today to save the day, to save you forever. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment. When we stand up and sing, I'm going to ask you to come forward and stand right here with me. I'll be standing right here. I'll meet you right here. You say, well, there's a lot of people in here. It's scary. Don't let that bother you. God will help you. He will lead you. I want to ask you. And remember, it will cost you something to follow Jesus. Are you willing to confess Christ? I mean, sincerely, if you're unwilling to walk down a carpeted church aisle on Easter Sunday among followers and believers of Jesus, how do you think you're going to stand for Christ when it really gets tough somewhere? So I'm going to ask you to confess Christ starting right here, right now, by coming forward. And the act of coming forward will be your testimony that Jesus is your Lord. You're saying yes to Him today. There are others, you're already a believer in Christ. Is He Lord of your life? I'm going to ask you to come, many of you, and surrender of your life to the Lordship of Christ. You're a Christian, but you're not living in the Lordship of Christ in your life. Why don't you come and get that right today? Get that right today with Christ and come forward. There are others, you're a believer. You want to belong to this church. Christ has led you here. His Spirit has brought you here. You belong to Jesus. Do you belong to His church? So come today and join with us. Lord, we thank You for Your word, the power of the resurrection, the truth, the work of Your Spirit. And now help men, women, boys, and girls to do right now what they'll be so glad they've done when they stand before You in eternity. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.